Welcome back to Good Food. Ukraine has been on our minds for some time now. As in many countries torn by war, the cuisine of the region has a history of revolt and resilience. Anna Voloshina is a Ukrainian-born food writer and cooking instructor who lives in the Bay Area. In her new cookbook, she gets closer to home by sharing family recipes and modern reimaginings of traditional ones. Hi, Anna.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. Budmo is an absolutely gorgeous book.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of it.
You should be. Have you found that more people are taking an interest in the cuisine of your homeland since the Russian invasion?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like a lot of people now, first of all, they know about our country and they know where it's located and the cities, and everyone is just following the news and admiring the spirit and the whole fight that Ukrainians are putting towards Russia. And of course, they are now more interested in Ukrainian culture and food. And I got so many requests for different Ukrainian recipes. And it makes me very happy that people are finally realizing that Ukrainian food is very interesting and it's not the same as Russian food.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you're far away from something and you want to give support, aside from giving money and reading and keeping up with news, there's something about digging into a cuisine that makes you feel closer.
Yeah, I think it's another level of connection. It's deeper, it's more meaningful.
So when I was a kid, I almost never had meatloaf when I was growing up because my mom always made stuffed cabbage instead, what you call golubtsy. And you make yours with brined cabbage leaves from a jar. Is that traditional?
No, it's not. So one Ukrainian lady who I met here in the United States, we were just chatting and talking about how horrible the whole process of like boiling and peeling cabbage leaf is. And she's like, yeah, but you can buy them pickled. And I'm like, wow, this is the best idea ever. Because first of all, you're just skipping this step of prepping the cabbage altogether. And secondly, you're adding this layer of flavors. And I know that in my part of the country, in the southern Ukraine, we never had that. But in western Ukraine, they actually pickle the cabbage leaves for the dish. So I've never tasted it. And I thought I'm so original, but turned out we actually have it in Ukraine, but I just never tasted, never came across it.
It's such a genius idea. I love stuffed cabbage so much. And the thing that keeps me from making it more often is that whole part of prepping the cabbage.
Same, but just make sure you need to soak the leaves before cooking, like at least half an hour to 1 hour, because the store-bought cabbage leaves, they're very briny and salty. So we need to get rid of that extra saltiness by soaking the leaves for 1 hour in cold water. And this works like a dream.
And you also didn't use a tomato-based sauce in your book. Tell us about what you do instead.
So in this particular recipe, since the cabbage leaves are so tangy and they already have enough acidity, I wanted to come up with something creamy. And as you notice that the stuffing is also not meat, but barley and fried mushrooms. So I wanted this comforting dish. I was thinking about like this barley risotto-ish inspiration. So I'm like, okay, we can come up with something fun and new. And this is one of the recipes that I kind of modernized for the book, because why not? It's fun to come up with new ideas.
Absolutely. And your culture is so much about stuffing things into things. I know that borscht is kind of the ubiquitous question that you would normally be asked. But I think that your take on golden beets in the recipe is really interesting. And I would love you to talk about why you decided to make that change, and if the color changes reflected in other elements of the recipe.
Oh my God, this is such a funny story about this borscht. So in the southern part of Ukraine, green borscht is also red. My mom just made it like red, but added sorrel, and that what made it kind of green borscht. And I was eating this whole life, and then my husband and I just started dating, and I wanted to impress him, so I made this green borscht, which was in fact red. And he's like, no, this is not green borscht. I'm like, no, this is green. He said, this is red borscht. I'm like, no, but I added this chopped egg and sorrel, so that's why it's green. And he's like, no. And then my mom and I came to my mother-in-law, and she made this beautiful green borscht, which was actually green for us. And it was such a revelation, because she did not use red beets, the thing that actually colors the borscht. And I'm not sure if she even used golden beets, but I feel like beets are such an important part of borscht that I decided to add golden beets. And I searched for different recipes in like different old Ukrainian books, and I know that they used white beets for that, but I couldn't find them here. So I decided to use golden beets. And in Ukraine, for most of the time, they don't use any beets in green borscht at all.
Because when I was growing up, a green borscht, my mother called it shav, and the sorrel, which has that very tangy flavor, mm-hmm. is so forward in the soup. Is yours the same? Is it really gets its kind of a different kind of tang because of the sorrel?
Yeah. So a lot of people ask me what makes borscht borscht, because there are so many variations. And I say this tanginess, this lovely complexity, like almost sourness, that what makes borscht the traditional Ukrainian dish. If you will only use sorrel, it will be pretty tangy. So I tried to balance it out with fresh spinach, and it added this lushness, but at the same time, the tanginess is there. So it's just a very nice balance of everything.
It's apple season now. And you talk about a recipe for an apple infused vodka. How long does it take to make, and is it difficult?
Oh, no, not difficult at all. It takes like 5 minutes, maybe. Like, you just need to peel your apples and pick the smallest apples you can find and the most flavorful ones. Just stuff them in a jar and pour vodka on top. And I believe I added a little bit of honey. I think honey makes everything slightly better. So it will not make your vodka sweet, but it will just add this roundness. And you just put it in a dark corner, shake it once in a while, like once in 2 days, and you will have your vodka in 1 week, or you can keep it longer and it will just be richer and the flavor will be stronger and brighter. And you can keep it for months in that jar. And the apples, you can actually use them for some granita, or just slice them and serve as an appetizer to vodka. But they are very boozy.
Oh, I love that idea. Once you have it, do you just tend to just sip it straight, or do you have a specialty cocktail you like to make?
No, I like to put it in a bottle and then put it in the freezer forever and ever. And when we have guests, we just shoot the vodka before like starting the wine or something. Like, it's a very Ukrainian thing to like have a sip of vodka at the dinner table, especially if you have something hearty and comforting. And we always say some nice toast for Ukraine and say budmo and cheers to Ukraine.
Well, Anna, it's been such a lovely pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for supporting my book and supporting Ukraine.
That's Bay Area Anna Voloshina. We've been discussing her new cookbook, Budmo, Recipes from a Ukrainian Kitchen. We have a recipe for her cabbage rolls with barley and mushrooms on our website, kcrw.com/goodfood.